us, like we just sang. But all we have is Jesus. All we have is what you have given to us, Father, which is more than we need. Father, you have been more than generous to give us your Son, Jesus Christ, to provide a covering for our sins. Father, to provide an atonement, to pay for our sins that we actively committed, even though your Son was actively perfect. Father, help us now as we dig into this text to just really see where we can be grown, where we can be stretched, Father, and where we can be comforted as well. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the Spirit. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our text for this morning, as we kick off a two-week mini-series on giving, is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19, 20, and 21. If you are able, I will ask you to stand as we read God's word together. Matthew chapter 16, verses 19, 20, and 21. I'll wait till I hear pages no longer ruffling. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. You may be seated. In some ways, this topic is a preacher's nightmare, right? Money, giving, all of this sort of all these sort of things. There are a few places in Scripture where we want to allow God to speak into our lives less than when we talk about the wallet, less than we talk about finances in the bank account. Many people think that's when we've gone too far, but we are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and we will preach what the Bible preaches, and we will teach what the Bible teaches. We are going to take a look at this in just a different manner than I think you guys were probably expecting when you heard that we were going to have a two-week little series on giving. So right off the bat, I want to kind of change or reorient the conversation. Instead of thinking about this in terms of dollars and cents, I want us to think about this in terms of living and breathing. I want us to think about this in terms of encompassing everything that we do. Now, I know that might sound like a big stretch, but when I give you the big idea, I think that it will make more sense. Because my goal here this morning is to get our hearts into the right place, get our minds into the right place before we really get into the details of giving. So the big idea today is that God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. And I know that might seem like an odd way to start off a two-week mini-series on giving and money, but if you stick with me, I think you'll come away with a better understanding of what Jesus was teaching to his listeners here at this portion of the Sermon on the Mount and how it applies to your life and my life as well. So let's dig in. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 begins, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So right off the bat, Jesus gives us our first option. All right, our first option is to have earthly treasures. All right, that's our first option, is to have earthly treasures. So what are earthly treasures? Earthly treasures are those things that are going to be eaten up by moths, are the things that are able to be destroyed by rust, stolen and broken by thieves. You see, the issue here isn't quite with simply having earthly treasures like money or wealth or anything like that, but allowing your earthly treasures to consume your time and attention. To be consumed by your earthly treasures means that you are more concerned about the earthly than the heavenly. Now, notice I didn't simply make a distinction between physical and spiritual. All right, God created both the physical, which is the material, and the spiritual, which is the immaterial. And to dismiss one rather than the other would be to dismiss God's given gifts to us. So I want us to think about this idea of earthly treasures as the things that will be destroyed. Plain and simple, your earthly treasures will be destroyed. So Jesus ends this part of his sermon with the simple yet stark declaration that you can't serve two masters. Jump down at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The person who lays up for themselves treasures here on earth are showing that their heart is destined for this earth. Now, what does that mean, though, to have our hearts destined for this earth? Like I just said, everything on this earth is going to be destroyed. This earth is going to pass away. It's going to be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. So everything earthly will be destroyed. It will be taken care of. So all of the things of this earth are going to be destroyed. And if your heart is destined for the things of this earth, for the things that moths can eat, that rust can destroy, that thieves can break in and steal, then you are showing that your heart is destined for this earth and not destined for heaven, and it will burn as well. So this idea of being more concerned about the earthly than the heavenly, this has bigger ramifications. This has ideas that go far beyond just our wallet, your stocks and bonds, your IRA. What this really does is it redefines treasure, because our treasures can be physical things like, you know, money and wealth and houses and cars, all that sort of stuff, but it can be our immaterial things as well. Our treasures can be immaterial things like time, attention, and our life. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this about this passage: our Lord is concerned here not so much about our possessions as with our attitude towards our possessions. You see, this is a spiritual issue that can manifest itself physically. Said more simply, this is a heart issue that usually plays itself out through money and possessions. And when we think of it in those terms, when we think of it more of as an attitude issue rather than just a wealth issue, it can become an issue for those who have a lot of money, for those who have some money, and for those who have no money at all. It's really a heart issue that encompasses every single person. You see, the person with great wealth might find their security in that wealth. They might find their security knowing that if there are an emergency, they've got at least 3 months saved up. They can take security in that. They can delight in their wealth. They can take all of their delight in just the things that they have, the things that if we were in a different climate wouldn't even exist. You know, if I always thought it was funny that the cars in Phoenix were always nice. They didn't have rust. They didn't have all of this damage that our cars do. And it's because the climate was conducive to that sort of thing. Over there in Phoenix, in Arizona, it was so dry. There was no rain, no salt on the roads. There was no rust to eat up those sorts of things. So we just happened to have our treasures and delight in the things that we're able to have because, you know, we live in a certain place sometimes. But what happens when the market crashes? What happens when the thieves do come in, break in, and steal? There is no lasting satisfaction in wealth. There is no lasting satisfaction in money, in cars, in houses, and all of these other things. Conversely, the person with little wealth can see wealth as the answer to all their problems. If I just make a little bit more, I'll be all right. If I can get this other job, I'll be satisfied. If I can make sure all of my bills are paid, my life will be okay. But what happens if we can't get back on our feet? What happens if we can only live paycheck to paycheck in this season of life? Is God not good all the time? Does God not sustain us every moment of every day? The only thing that can bear the whole weight of our desire, the whole weight of our satisfaction, is not a thing at all, but it's the person and work of Jesus Christ. You see, this world is a world of groaning. We are always going to be groaning for something more. We even see it right now as the leaves are changing and the leaves are falling. That's groaning. It's groaning. That's death that we see out there. The trees are dying. One day, I hope we still have the beautiful colors, but one day we're not going to see that kind of death anymore. And that's because of Jesus. Now, all of this is not to say, I want to be clear on this, that we shouldn't pursue some sort of financial security. All right, we need to be wise with our money. We need to be wise with how we spend our money and things like that. But our desire and satisfaction will not be full if we become financially secure. All right, our desire and our satisfaction will not be full if we become financially secure. That's because we can always be more secure, right? We can always have a little bit more. We can always save up a little bit more. We can always have that extra security. How's this for security? My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. That is the security that we can count on no matter what. Now, I want to touch base on this idea of time as treasure before we move on. We haven't earned anything. Each one of us in this room, we've earned nothing. The wages of sin is death. That's what we've earned. God would be okay. God would still be a good, holy God if we were all wiped off the face of the earth right now. We have earned nothing. Everything that we have is a gift given to us by the triune gift giver, by the God of Scripture. And this includes the time that we have. God gives us time, whether we recognize it or not, whether we reject it or embrace it, it's a truth. All right, that God has given us time. So how are we spending our time? Pastor John Piper talks about social media as being a great exposer in the last days. He says, quote, "One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove that at the last day the prayerlessness was not from a lack of time." Oof. I have a challenge for you all this week. This week, take a log of one or two of your days. You don't have to do it every single day. If you want to do it every day, great. But just one or two of your days. And it doesn't even have to be as detailed as hour by hour, minute by minute. Just break up the day into a couple different sections, morning, afternoon, evening, if you want. That's simple. And just log your time. What did you do with your day? What did you do with the gift that you were given? What did your time reveal about where you are laying up your treasure? Was your time spent cultivating things that are going to be destroyed or cultivating things that are going to last forever? What about the time we spend with people? Do our relationships reflect laying up treasures on earth or laying up treasures here, or laying up earth or up in heaven? What I mean is, are you friends with Christians? You don't have to be friends with only Christians and only fellow church members, but are you friends with Christians? Do you have relationships with people who are going to point you towards the heavenly things, or people who are going to tear you down to earthly things? These relationships are important because the relationships that we have with Christians are going to transcend this earth. In theory, I'm going to be friends with all of you forever. You guys are stuck with me. Forever. So we should be cultivating these relationships that aren't just here on earth and now, but are going to last forever. People that can point us towards heavenly things. People that can point us towards godliness. Let's spur one another on towards love and good works by laying up treasures in heaven together. That's the first option, is laying up for yourself treasures here on earth. The second option is to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. All right, let's look at verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. I heard a phrase once, and maybe you've heard it as well, and it was directed towards a specific person, and it went like this, that person is too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. I heard that phrase once, and at first I wasn't quite sure what to think, but the more I thought about it, the less it made sense. All right? The less it made sense, because it was meant to be a put down on the person for being too focused on heaven and not focused enough on the things of earth. If somebody's truly obsessed with heaven, all right, and that's the idea of laying up for yourself treasures is obsession. I'm obsessed with laying for myself treasures in heaven, then I'm going to be more concerned with what really matters than most people. You see, there is freedom in heavenly treasures. If you are consumed with the earth and its treasures, you're enslaved to it. I've used this illustration before, but I think it gets the point across well. All right, I'm going to ask for participation from you all. I need your hand out in front of you. All right, hand out in front of you. All right, so think of your hand as your life. All right, this is, I measured my hand's about 12 square inches. All right, so 12 square inches. The rest of the space in this room is eternity. So would you rather be concerned about this 12 square inch block, or I did the measurements from here out there is about 11,000 square inches just on one level. All right, would you rather be concerned about this little block of time or the rest of eternity? When you're concerned about just this little block of time, you can put your hand down, thank you. When you're concerned about just this little block of time, you're enslaved to this. I wonder what these people think of me here. If I get enough stuff here, am I going to be okay here? There's no freedom in worrying about what's in here. There's true freedom in being concerned about the things of heaven. Because this is going to exist like a vapor. Here one moment, gone the next. And I think when we think of it in those terms, it becomes much more freeing to live the life that God has called us to, because this captures our hearts. See, the heart that is laying up for itself heavenly treasures is more concerned about the heavenly than the earthly. And that is because the heavenly things will last forever. At the end of each of the commands, Jesus gives the reason why it is wise to listen to him. All right, the first command, Jesus says that we shouldn't lay up for ourselves treasures on earth because they will be destroyed. Then he says the opposite of is true if you lay up treasures in heaven because they will not be destroyed. So are you worried about the things that are going to be here one moment and gone the next, or are you going to worry about what's going to last forever? Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The reason why we can say that God wants your heart and not your money is because if God has your heart, he has all of you. Those songs that we sang were perfect. All I have is Christ. In Christ alone. When your heart is in God's hands, when your heart is in Jesus' hands, then you are free to give in a way that doesn't make sense to the world. So to answer the question at the top of your notes page, the title of the sermon, why give? We can simply say that we give because he has first given to us. We give because we know that it doesn't matter if we have an 800 square foot house or an 8,000 square foot house, that we're all called to holiness. We give because we know that investing in God's portfolio is going to reap returns that are far greater than if we had invested in Apple or Google or whatever 35 years ago. Giving our money is one of the biggest ways that we can store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. You can't serve God and money. Which one are you more concerned about? Which one does your business show that you are more concerned about? Which one does your actions show that you are more concerned about? Where your treasure is, so too will your heart be. The rich young ruler that Jim read for us, he had great wealth, he had great possessions. And you guys probably know this, but we're richer than 99% of the world. We've got clothes on our back, we've got a dollar in our bank account. we're richer than 99% of the world, all right? So we are the rich young ruler, each one of us. We have more possessions. We have more resources than just about anybody, and that goes throughout history as well. Basically, only kings have had more wealth than us. And so the question comes to us, where are you storing your treasures? Money is one of the biggest ways that we can show where our heart is. Another way is with our time. I alluded to that. Does your business, and I don't just necessarily mean if you own a business, but your own personal business, reveal that you are storing up for yourself treasures in heaven or on earth? One author had this to say about time and life. He says, quote, "We've confused life and time. You and I seem bent on thinking that life is time. That's why we always want more of it. But life is not time. Life is God. That's why the second person of the Trinity stood upon the earth and boldly spoke a simple truth, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.' You see, life isn't time. Life is a person. It's a relationship. Life is communion with the God who is life. Giving back our breath gift, dying, means we trade a shadow for a reality, a whisper for a voice, a candle for the sun. Giving back our life is genuine, is gaining true and eternal life with the God who beckons us into fellowship." I know that was a lot there. But this idea of our time as treasure, we are given time, and what are we doing with the time? What are you doing with your life? God wants our hearts. God wants your heart. When God has our hearts, we can truly say, as Pastor Doug Wilson says, that we have all of Christ for all of life. Our prayer every day should be, "Lord God, show me ways today that I haven't made you the Lord of my life." What I mean by that is there are some places in our lives where we're content to ignore Jesus. We're content to ignore God. We're happy to give up half of our weekend on Sunday and a spot on the back bumper as well, and maybe some time throughout the week. But are we content to give God everything? Are we content to truly show that our treasures aren't here on earth? Are we content to let God take over every aspect of our life? That's what it means to have heavenly treasures. The old song is true for those in Christ. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Evidences of storing up for yourself treasures in heaven compared to earth. This Tuesday is election day. There may be good candidates, there may be bad candidates. The one thing for certain, though, is that we as Christians have no king but Christ. We know that God is the one who is ultimately in control. We don't put our hope in politicians, not merely because the vast majority of them are snakes and liars, but because our treasure isn't dependent on whether or not our candidate wins. Our treasure was secured 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ took a brutal beating, went to the cross, was murdered, and rose again 3 days later. That's our treasure. No thief can steal that. No vandal can mar that treasure. It has been paid for once and for all. So the question comes back to your own heart. Is your heart free to give to God's church? Or is your heart enslaved to this world? God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Is your heart free to give money? If you want to be sure that you are laying up your treasure in heaven, then the first thing you need to do is to be sure that you are trusting in Jesus for your salvation and your satisfaction. Now, admittedly, I chose the closing hymn, and we are going to be singing one of the quintessential altar call songs. But there isn't a better response to sing after a sermon like this. "I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all." Now, I remember a time in my life, and maybe this is true of you as well, where I was happy to sing that with my voice. I was happy to stand and sing, "I surrender all," but deep down in my heart, I knew that what I was singing was, "I surrender almost everything." All right? I don't know if that's true of you, but it's been true of me in the past. Before Jesus truly took my heart, and I was able to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you are not content to have that to be your heart song, then resolve today by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are going to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. Stop investing in this earth. When you sing the song, let it truly be your prayer. If it helps you to stop singing, and just pray. If it helps you to stop and sit, that's fine. Pray in your seat. Go for it. If you want to know more about what it means to trust Jesus with your life, you can talk to myself. You can talk to Pastor George. You saw Jim up here. He'd be happy to talk to you. Any number of people would be thrilled. You would make their day. You would make their week if you asked them what it means to follow Jesus. God doesn't want your money. He wants all of you. He wants your heart. And we don't want Christ just on Sundays. We want all of Christ for all of life. Father God, may that be true. Burn that on our hearts. Father, as we sing this closing hymn, may that be the song of this church, that we surrender all, everything to Jesus. Father, we thank you for the blessing of time, of wealth, Father, of these things that we can use for your glory. But Father, help us not to find our true ultimate desire and satisfaction in these things that are just going to end. Father, help us to find our true desire in knowing and loving you and being like your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.